Blog Talk Radio.
Ten. I'm Coach Pen.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the next episode of Third and Long with Coach Penn. I'm Coach Penn, head coach of the California Quake. And as always, I'm coming to you from Southern California. I am not on the front porch this evening. I am at practice right now. This first part is going to be pre-recorded, so I'm actually in my cubicle at work. Just relaxing, so please excuse the construction going on in the background if you do happen to hear it. I'm right by a window, and there seems to be building something of importance next to me. I really don't know what it is and don't really care. But let's get into women's football. It's been 2 weeks since I've been here. Last time was a pre-record as well because on Wednesday, it was February 4th, I had a scrimmage versus the Breakers, our first 7-on-7 scrimmage. We had only practiced one day, but we got a lot of our rookies some much-needed experience against some fun competition. We're doing the same thing tonight. But tonight, I'm only going to do pre-record for the first 30 minutes, and then at 7:30, I'm going to call in from the field live and kind of do a play-by-play of the scrimmage that we're doing. We'll cut short about 7:50, and that'll be the end of the show, and it might just cut off all of a sudden. I don't know what BJ's going to do, but I won't be able to answer any questions because I won't be in front of a computer, so I apologize now, but it'll be pretty cool. I'll be giving you a play-by-play of their offense and defense and our offense and defense, depending on how much we get done. We usually do 20-minute segments. Coach Manny and I have a good rapport. He actually coached with the Quake the first year that I was with the Quake before leaving for medical reasons, and now he's the head coach of the Breakers. And then, of course, we both have a connection to Coach Bartley. I coached with him my first year. And then Manny coached with him in the men's leagues and also with the Quake. So there's a nice little tryst right there between the three of us. We all get along and try and work together. Coach Anthony is now in a different league, so we won't be working together as I am trying to move forward with my team in my league. Let's see. Some of the things on tap for tonight, I'm going to go over the differing practice schedules for teams that I've been researching throughout the week and weekend. How many days a week do teams practice? How many hours? Are they trying to reach certain goals, as in I need to practice this many hours a week, like a college schedule, or are they practicing certain days of the week, like an NFL-type schedule? And then, I have the team updates for tier run of the IWFL. Because it's only 30 minutes, I wasn't able to cover, you know, all the teams and all the leagues. So I'll start today with tier one of the IWFL, and then my next show on March 4th will cover tier two of the IWFL and the WFA. And if I can't get through all the WFA, that'll roll into my March 18th show. And that March 18th show will actually be 3 weeks prior to the first game. So that'll be pretty intense right there. We'll have a lot to talk about, and hopefully I can have some guests on then. But right now, tonight, I got 30 minutes to talk to you about some of the things I've noticed and some of the things I kind of want to get some feedback on. As always, you can reach me at headcoach@californiaquake.com, californiaquakefootball.com. Sorry, let me get that all out. Let me know about why you practice a certain amount of hours or certain days of the week. I found lots of interesting things out there and some pretty cool things and some pretty disturbing, because remember, I'm talking about tier one teams. Tier one supposed to be cream of the crop, trying to put on the best type of football because they have the most amount of athletes at their disposal, they have good funding, yada, yada, yada. So I saw some things that are pretty disturbing, and I'll go over that tonight. Just remember, 7:30, I'll be cutting it off. It won't be the end of the show. I'll be calling in live to kind of give a play-by-play of the Breakers. So without further ado, let's hop right into the show of Third and Long with Coach Penn. I did a bunch of research throughout all of the teams, and I just started with the IWFL Tier 1 because that's my bookmark. Plus, I have the most vested in IWFL Tier 1 because that's where the Quake are, and that's what we're actually trying to, you know, that's we're trying to win. We that's our, not goal, but that's our aspiration, is to be a Tier 1 top-level team that is capable of winning the championship. Our practice schedules and our organization and everything that we do is a representation of that. So let's start with the Boston Militia. This is something I found pretty, not necessarily weird, but interesting. They have open tryouts through March 12th. Now, me on the Quake, I cut tryouts January 17th. That was it. I mean, we need to start teaching these ladies the basics of football. I mean, from what I've seen, there's been a resurgence of interest in women's football. Lots of teams, at least around my area, have tons of rookies. I know Coach Manny with the Breakers has close to 20 rookies. I have 20-plus rookies. I know Coach Duncan of the Amazons has almost 20 rookies. I heard the Sacramento Sirens have almost 20 rookies. So it seems like everybody did a pretty good job of recruiting and marketing and trying to get their names out there. It doesn't hurt when you have a good season either. So that's good. And Southern California is just a big melting pot of a ton of people and usually has a lot of good athletes. So I'm thinking and hoping this is nationwide. If it isn't, you know, what can you do to make your team better? So that really freaked me out, you know, open tryouts through 312. And, you know, because, I mean, I had to cut it short because I needed to get teaching. So, I mean, I don't understand what they're doing. They seem to have practices or tryouts, as they're calling them, twice a week until March, and maybe they'll switch up then. I just think it's weird that they would call it tryouts. You know, maybe people just are, after they show up the first time, are supposed to continue showing up. Maybe that's how they built their roster. I just thought that was kind of interesting. See if I can get in touch with them and see, have them on my next show to explain that. The New York Sharks, they actually just added a new tryout date, which is this Saturday. And they just finished the NFL Junior Player Development Clinic, which I heard was a good success based off the special presentation show they had on Monday night. And that's really good that, you know, somebody in one of the leagues, that IWFL in this case, is working with the NFL. I mean, that's a foot in the door, so to speak. The Philadelphia Firebirds, they didn't have really any info listed on practices or tryouts. Just saying that their tryouts are over, contact them if you're interested in joining the team. The New York Nemesis, they don't start practices till March 7th, which I just found crazy because that's 4 weeks and a couple days prior to your first game. So, I mean, I hope they're just diving right into pads, or maybe they have off-season conditioning or something where they're doing something prior to 3-7, because I don't know how you're going to be ready with just a month. This is not like college football where these people train all year, or the NFL where, you know, they have some sort of camp beforehand to get you back in shape, you know, all that stuff. So starting your practices a month and a couple days before the season starts is kind of scary to me, but I do like their new logo, which is updated on the IWFL website. Not on their website yet, but it is a new logo, and I think it's pretty cool. The Connecticut Crushers, they have updated their link and their website some. They are now the Crushers, because we already have an Iowa Crush, so they had to change it. Their practices have started. They still have the NWFA link on there. That was kind of disturbing to me. But, you know, some people just aren't as technologically savvy as others and don't know how big the internet is these days. I mean, I'm on the internet all day, and I'm sure anybody that's in a cubicle-type setting is probably in there and on the internet a lot. So that was that division. Most of their practices were 2 to 3 days a week. So that was kind of different. So I'm going to continue with the team updates before I get into that different practicing schedules, because I have a lot to say about that. The Seattle Majestics, for being such a well-run team, by what I've heard, their website doesn't contain any info on tryouts or practices. And maybe that's just because they do everything internally and they don't like to express, you know, practices. I mean, me, on the other hand, I mean, trying to get people to games and trying to get your team name out, I would definitely post that stuff on there and let people know so they can come check it out I mean, it's not like you have teams that close nearby where they can come and film you and see what you're doing. Get fans there, you know, just to check out the practices, see what it's like, and see if it's something that they enjoy. So to have no info whatsoever is kind of depressing to me, especially since I hold them in high regards. I think when I think about Seattle Majestics, I think of a very well-run team. Then it has some cool things on there from some players and owners meeting with the governor. I believe it was the governor. And then Lofa Tutupu from USC plays for the Seattle Seahawks. One of the players got to meet him. So it was cool. So there was some cool extra info in there, just nothing about practices and or tryouts. The Corvallis Pride, they're still accepting players, and they have started practices. So that's good to see that they're getting going. Portland Shockwave, they also did list that practices have started. Then we went to the Detroit Demolition, and the Detroit Demolition, I don't know what it is, but their site is dead again. And I remember hearing this last year that their site goes down for a little bit, why they re-up or whatever they're doing, but that's just the stupidest thing in the world I've ever heard. You can't keep your website up on a daily basis. That just doesn't look good. Your website should never be dead. Unless there's some sort of technological error. I mean, I don't think it's that expensive to run a website, especially when most of them are free. So that just kind of surprised me that their site was dead again. Maybe it's back up today. I'll check, see what it is. DC Divas, unfortunately, because I have a government job, the Divas is obviously a bad word or of some sort. So it's blocked at my work, and I was unable to research anything about them, so I apologize for not having any good information on everything they had updated. Yes, I probably could have checked at home, but home is for sleeping. I'm either at work, at football practice, or home sleeping, so that's all I really have time for these days now that football's started up. The Baltimore Nighthawks, they have tryouts this Saturday as well, and they, of course, have a new show on the WFB network, which is called We Own the Night. I believe it's We Own the Night. Let me see. I have the site up right now. Yes, Nighthawks Radio. We Own the Night. I believe that's on Thursday. So we got Tuesdays, Coach Bartley with Game Time. Wednesdays, myself. And then Thursdays are We Own the Night. And, of course, the ladies have started it all. Sundays. And they always have lots to say. And they usually have some pretty good guests on there. They've had a couple guest speakers recently and guest hosts, which was pretty neat to see too. Pittsburgh Passion, another big, big team. They have started their practices. They actually started their practices in January, like myself, and they will be practicing throughout the year. One thing cool about them is they have indoor practices. Pittsburgh is a northern team, and in the last 2 days, Southern California has gotten 3 or 4 feet of snow, so I can only imagine what a northern team like Pittsburgh is getting and the weather they would have to practice in. The funny thing about their practice, they practice from like 8 at night to 11 p.m. And I understand that might have something to do with when the facility is available, but still, at least they get to practice indoors and they're practicing for 3 hours. So let's go down to the Chicago Force. Chicago Force really didn't have it too much about tryouts or their practices, but what I did see is that their roster was complete. They haven't updated all the numbers or the heights and weights, but they had 31 rookies listed on there, and that is amazing. I thought I had a lot with, you know, just over 20. So 31 rookies, I mean, I hope they started practices because that's a lot of people to be teaching. They had, it seemed like, a million people on the roster, which is really cool. But the one thing that I was kind of surprised, I saw a lot of names from the previous year no longer playing, so I'm wondering if those rookies are going to be able to pick up everything and fill those shoes. There's some big names that are no longer with the Force. They've been playing for a while, so I'm not saying that that's, you know, it's a bad thing. I'm just saying, you know, people decided to hang up their cleats, put the shoulder pads in a glass case and a helmet, get it all signed and put it away. Maybe some of them are just taking a year off. I know that's the case with some people around the South here, too. Kansas City Tribe, they started their practices in January. The Wisconsin Warriors, they have updated their roster. They have a very, very small roster. I'm not even sure if it reached 20. I mean, I played a bench against the Northern Ice back when that was a powerhouse team, and Van Kuyk was on there, and I see that she's on the Wisconsin Warriors, and now I can always understand why they have such a good team with such small numbers, because that woman is ridiculous. She is a very good player that I was very impressed with the game that we played with. I mean, she dominated the WPFL that one year that they won everything. But one player does not make a team, and I'm wondering with a roster of just maybe 20-some people, low 20s, if having one superstar is actually going to help or hurt. Maybe the fact that the other Wisconsin team isn't playing this year, I would have thought they would have had a bigger roster, but I guess not. The Minnesota Vixen, they had a roster cutoff date at Valentine's Day, so there's a nice little bouquet of flowers for you. You got till the 14th, or you can't play for us. They are practicing 2 days a week. All right, let's move on to Dallas. Dallas is a little bit of a hyperbole right now because they have a completely new coaching staff. They don't have a roster up, and I'm not saying they finished their tryouts or have they started practices, but I'm thinking if I was them with the mass exodus that I've heard, not so much from people just quitting, but people retiring. They've been playing forever. They've won 4 championships in 2 different leagues. So I'm thinking they might have a huge turnover there, and they're holding off that roster release until the last possible moment so that, you know, the Houston, Miami, and Atlanta don't see who's back and don't start preparing. I mean, with the new coaching staff, new philosophy, new plays, new schemes, so you never know what Dallas is going to come out with. Houston really had no info on tryouts or practices, but their roster is complete, and they had a pretty good roster too. In comparing that with the Cyclones roster of last year, I didn't see very many Cyclones. I saw maybe, I think it was one for sure, and the rest of them were too vague to actually figure out because they were only using, you know, initials and stuff like that. So we'll see, but as of right now, I only saw less than a handful of people that may have made the migration over. I did see Dallas's backup quarterback, and that was Cantu. I believe it was Cantu. Is back on the Houston Energy, so she must have moved home and looking to don the silver and red again this year. Miami, this disturbed me. Miami is a Tier 1 team in the division of Dallas, Houston, Atlanta, Miami. They only added 3 new players on their roster. They only had 3 people with, you know, that look like rookies. And that was surprising to me. I would think of Miami, a big area, lots of athletes, lots of men who play football. They would have, you know, girlfriends, significant others, sisters. You know, I would think they would have a lot more people showing up to play than that. So I'm not sure if that's management or what, but 3 is not going to help every year. I don't think in my worst years, and this is my 8th season coaching, that I've ever only had 3 rookies. And yes, I do come from a big market, but Miami's a huge market too. So Atlanta, another huge market. I would not say Atlanta is as big as Miami or L.A., but they have 99 players listed on their roster. So like that of Chicago, they have 30-plus rookies, and that is amazing. Getting them all together, teaching them, you know, everything you need to teach them makes it more difficult, but at least your practices can be, conducive, because you'll actually have people at practice, and you can actually run offense and defense, full offense and defense, have enough people to run special teams without risking injury, you know, because full-speed special teams is quite a task. Last division I saved for my own, Sacramento Sirens. I found this really weird. They have no head coach listed. I have lots of respect for Sacramento. I mean, they're a very well-run organization. Their site has tons of stuff from way back in the day. I'm wondering if they're living a little bit too much in the past because there's nothing current about players on there. They just stopped in 2008, 2009. Nothing has been updated yet. So if they don't have a head coach listed, I'm wondering if that's just because they haven't updated it yet. I'm hoping they have a head coach by now. I know that we play them this year for the first time in a year because last year we didn't play them at all. And we as the Quake, missed that because while we haven't beaten the Sacramento Sirens since 2001, it's always been a good time, and we love playing those ladies because they're very, very good sports. There's a lot of sportsmanship and professionalism going on throughout, before, during, and after the game. So we look forward to playing Sacramento and that organization again. Oakland Banshees, it looks like they have finalized their roster as well. They only had a couple new people, too. Kind of expected a little bit more from them, maybe grab a couple more of the Santa Rosa players. San Francisco's right there, and there's no San Francisco team. So I was thinking they would have a bigger roster than just, you know, mid to high 20s. LA's Amazons, they have their roster, but I don't think it's their finalized roster because, once again, Coach Duncan and I talk, and he mentioned having 18 to 20 rookies, so I don't think he's got all that updated yet. But they did have an announcement that they have a new stadium this year. They're playing in downtown L.A., like right off the 110, and they're actually practicing right next to it. So they have a new practice facility, new practice equipment, and a brand new stadium. The whole school is brand new, so congratulations to Coach Duncan for hooking that up. You know, it's always nice to be playing call plays home right from the beginning. So, and then, of course, the Quake. We have calendars listed on there, and we have our round robin listed. We had practices listed on there, but since February started, we knocked the practices off there because everybody should know when practices were. And we practice at a high school that's very active, and, you know, there's lots of people there every night because it's an open high school. So there's people working on the track. There's lots of little groups of people paying personal trainers to get in shape. There's soccer people out there. There's lacrosse teams out there. But the field is ours, and they have to work around us. So it helps us build a lot of camaraderie and friendships and partnerships with teams associated with the Downey area, and hopefully that'll help us build a bigger fan base as well. Of course, we have the round robin on the 21st of March, which the whole league was invited to. I know that I think we have two yeses so far and a bunch of maybes. I think everybody's just trying to figure out if they'll be ready for it on March 21st. And I'm sorry, but if you're not ready by March 21st, I don't look forward to seeing the result the first game on April 11th because that's 3 weeks away. And yes, 3 weeks is a lot of time, but not if you're only practicing a day or two a week like some of these teams are. Which brings me right into my other segment, which had to do with practice schedules. Looking over a variety of these websites, I found out that most teams are practicing 2 weeknights and a weekend day. And let me just give you our schedule, for example. We practice Tuesdays and Thursdays from 6:30 to 9:30, so 3 hours. And then on Saturdays, we practice from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., 6 hours. So we get 12 hours of work in. And you got to realize that stretching takes 40 minutes. You know, and I don't know if all these teams, you know, everybody has a different routine or regimen they go through. But, you know, stretching takes 40 minutes. So there goes basically 2 hours gone out of that. So we have 10 hours of real practice time. We also on Saturdays give everybody a 30-minute lunch break. So now we're down to 9.5. Then we also work in the gym for 1.5 hours. So that comes out to 8 hours of actual practice time. And we practice 3 days a week, 8 hours of actual practice time a week. In January, we actually did Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturdays, but the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday practices were shorter, so it would have been the exact same time. We're getting 8 hours of work per week in on the field, and that's kind of what I measure it by. I measure it by how many hours are we getting work in. One of the reasons we went to 3 days a week this year, last year was 4, is because we wanted to save people the gas money. We added an extra 45 minutes to each practice of work, and the Saturday stayed the same. We focus, now that we have a full field, and I know a lot of teams out there don't have a full field, a real football field with lines and goalposts, you know, it's kind of difficult to get the real work in, but because we are at a field, our home field to be exact, every practice, we can work on special teams, we can work on the drills, you know, working the line, working the hashes, you know, real stuff that is actually part of the game. So that's great. But then I see some teams, I believe it was the Kansas City Tribe, They practice, I think, Thursdays and Saturdays. Each practice 2 hours each. Like I said, let's say they just practice 30 minutes of stretching. That leaves, they're practicing 3 hours. 3 hours a week. Football. You know, and they're supposed to get offense, defense, and special teams. That's an hour each week of each that they're getting. And yes, they did start in January, so they got plenty of time to get everything taught, but I mean, I just don't know how a Tier 1 team trying to put the best football team on the field for the fans, for the league, and for the sport can actually say that is actually helping them become that. It's not a knock towards the Kansas City Tribe, because this I've seen this on a bunch of sites where they're only practicing 2 days a week, a weeknight and a weekend, and that just it boggles me. I don't get it. If you really think that you can get everything covered, great. Congratulations. I know I'm not the best coach. I just pride myself on being a very organized coach, having a very disciplined routine and staff so that we can get everything in that needs to be get in. I've been doing this 8 years now. This is my eighth season. It's only my second as head coach. This is not only my second as running the program. I've seen most teams practice 2 days a week and then a Saturday. Now, the Saturday hours have always fluctuated. Pittsburgh Passion, like I said, practice 3 hours every time they practice. And all of their hours just amaze me because it's 8 to 11. That's late. I mean, I keep my girls at 9:30, and I know that's late as hell for them. So to keep some, if I ask them to stay to 10, I mean, whew, that probably would not go over so well. But we worked it out, 6:30 to 9:30. You know, we have people coming from San Diego. We have people coming from the Valley or Valencia. For those of you who don't know, Valencia is not really close. It's a good hour and a half away. And San Diego is an hour and a half, 2 hours away. And then we have people coming from halfway to Vegas to play with us. So, I mean, we have people coming from hours away to play. And I've heard on other teams where they have players driving 4 hours to get to practice. And I love that sort of dedication to play. That's amazing. I personally would probably move there first before dealing with that, especially last year with the gas prices being as much as it was. And it looks like it's going back up again, which is just ridiculous since the price of gas per barrel has gone down. But that's another story. So, you know, I want to get some emails back from my listeners, which are fans, players, and coaches, some management, say, you know, throw in your input, you know, headcoach@californiaquakefootball.com. You know, what is the reasoning behind your practice schedule? What are you trying to accomplish in the limited amount of time we have? All these women that play have jobs, have families, have relationships. Some of them have multiple jobs. Some are still in school and carry a job. And then, of course, you have the coaching staffs who are volunteers. You know, we don't get paid. If you do, congratulations. Are you guys accepting applications? No, that was a joke, by the way. So please, Kat, Liz, don't get mad at me. That was a joke. We are doing this for free. You know, we're sacrificing our time. I don't know about you guys out there, but my coaching staff is at every practice. We had somebody, you know, vacations, planned events, those sort of things happen. But, you know, at every practice, we have our coaching staff there. And it's harder for the ladies to get there, which, you know, when you're dealing with a group of people, you know, 40 to 60 people, it's you don't expect it to get 100%. But my question is you, because you know that it's hard to get 100% people there, do you really think two practices a week is going to cut it? Or do you have a mandatory attendance policy? If you don't show up, you don't play, you know, something like that. Secondly, we just went in the pads on Saturday. It's February, right? We just went in the pads. We're giving, because we have so many rookies, we need people to start getting used to that stuff, and it's been a fun couple days. And then Saturday, this Saturday the 21st, when some people are having their final tryouts, we actually are going to start hitting, doing tackling drills, teaching people how to take a hit, give a hit, make a tackle, and get used to their pads. We wanted them to get used to it, you know, physically first, the weight, the way your body moves, how it changes your balance. So I just think it's kind of interesting to see all these different coaching philosophies, or maybe it's management, I don't know, on how much time it takes to get your team prepared for the season. We started in January, and, you know, we have some people accepting players through March. Personally, I would feel very confident playing any of these teams that are practicing just 2 days a week or are not practicing until practicing until March. You know, if you've just been doing tryouts, I think a team would be better prepared, starting earlier, working longer, you know, and it's all about the dedication level of the ladies. So if you can get the buy-in from the ladies to show up at practice, you know, what is it going to take? So please email me. Like I said, you can check out my email is always on the WFB website, but if you're just listening, write it down, headcoach@californiaquakefootball.com. I would like to have some guests talk about it next time, so head coaches out there, I challenge you. Let me know what's up. Congratulations to all the teams who have finished tryouts, and thank you to all the teams who have updated their websites and kept the public informed, whether it be fans, other teams, or people just trying to find out about women's football, because that's very important. I had at least 5 players who just did a search for women's football in Southern California, and California Quake popped up, and they showed up at trials. Like, yeah, I just did a search on the web, found it. Like, hey, glad we keep our stuff updated. Helped us get 5 extra players this year. So I think I am actually on the line right now waiting for me to stop talking so I can broadcast the practice. So I am going to say goodbye right now, and then I will let the live me take over for the broadcast of the scrimmage between the Quake and the Breakers. It's just 7-on-7 flag football, and it should be pretty lighthearted. We just have fun out there. Me and Manny have a good rapport, so thanks for listening to this part of the show. I hope you enjoy the next part just as much. Everybody have a good night. Bye.
Those were so nice. Hello, everybody. Coach Penn live. That was really surreal listening to myself talk. Right now, we're about ready to start up the 7-on-7. Coach Manny. Is that your ball? 35. All right, so we're basically give 20 minutes offense, 20 minutes defense. What will happen is we started on offense last time, so the Breakers will start on offense this time, and I'm sure you can hear them in the background. They're going crazy, getting nuts. We're getting our people sorted. Quarterbacks stay warm. So what I saw last time from the Breakers, they're wearing blue. That's their color. It's kind of like an ocean blue. They have yellow flags on tonight, black bottoms, and we over here have our California Quake white practice jerseys on with red flags and black bottoms. And the first 20 minutes of this will be them, and then I have to basically coach the offense, so I will be signing off after that. But I thought, you know, in the interest of doing this, you know, I started it when we were at the Dallas game. I, you know, let you guys inside the minds and the huddle and the coaching staff of the Quake, and I thought it would be pretty cool to do it again. You know, this is preseason. It doesn't mean anything. We're out here just to get experience and have some competition and get the ladies some, you know, much-needed hands-on competition. Breakers have, like I said earlier, 19, 20 rookies, something like that. We have 19, 20 rookies. The flag should be underneath the goalpost in the back. Okay? Is it up there? The red flags. So what we're doing is doing that. Okay. All right, so we got coaches. Coach H is our defensive coordinator with Coach D. They're going to be setting up the defense right now, and it looks like we have 2-4-6, which means we're playing 3 linebackers, 3 DBs. This is a 7-on-7. They're not in. Is she in there right now? Yeah. All right, so usually have 7-on-7, which usually means we have 5 skill positions on offense and a quarterback plus a center. So technically it's just 6 people on offense and then 7 people, whether it be 3 linebackers, 4 DBs, four linebackers, three DBs. Well, we have three linebackers and three DBs because one of the defenses we run is a 5-3. Anybody that played us last year know that we had a 5-3 defense. And so last scrimmage we had, we ran a 4-3. For those of you who doesn't speak, that's a four defensive linemen and three linebackers. Right now we're in a 5-3, so we'll only have six skill positions. You okay, Squirrel? Make sure you keep catching. Get a bunch of groups together. Have Nitro throw two. Get Tammy over there. Keep you guys all work your hands, okay? You're playing defense too, right? So you stay next to you guys all stay next to Coach H so she can sub you in. Yep. All of you stay. I think there's only like five of you that aren't playing any defense whatsoever. So. All right, so they're in two doubles with a single back 7 yards deep, and their QB is left-handed. All right, and they basically swung the running back out to the wide, and then they had slants all on the left side and then little stop routes on the right side. It was an incomplete pass, and we're not doing first downs, touchdowns, any of that sort of stuff. We're just basically running, seeing what it did. Last time we played them, every pass that the Breakers threw seemed to be a bomb. They scored a lot of touchdowns because they're just throwing it deep. And, you know, they basically have the advantage when it's 7-on-7 and we only have six because we're basically a man, we're saying. So, I'm sure we'll be adjusting it today. We were able to install a couple defense the last couple weeks. The first time, we had only practiced one day of technical defense, meaning we only got a 4-3 and a 5-3 in, so that's all we could play. Breakers come out again. They're trying to get set. They're still in the doubles with a running back really deep. And they have that southpaw center. No play action, straight drop back. There's the long bomb. And it was broken up by, I believe that was J-Love broken up. J-Love right now has a broken hand, so she's the only playing defense. But she actually got some hands on that ball and knocked it down on that one. So that was pretty neat right there. Who's that question? No, they don't have to call any of that stuff today. I'll send people in. So when I have everybody next to me, I'll be like, okay, you three go in, and I'll tell you who you're going in for. Yeah. You guys need to, this will be your adjustment on how to rotate in and out, make sure you get the same person, because sometimes you're going to tight end, sometimes you're going fullback. I'll be like, go get the tight end. You've got to make sure, as you're going out the field, that person comes out. Yes. Central, you'll be tight end. You will not be a running back in Central. Because you didn't practice, I probably won't let it. There we go. That was a nice pass. So, don't worry. What you'll probably do is have to just study Ninja tonight because she was here and she knows it. Maybe I'll get you in if we get through it a couple times. Well, Bama is a set formation where we have certain – you'll be a tight end on the right, but in a two-point stance. You'll be in a regular tight end position. And in Florida, you're 3 yards away from the tackle in a two-point stance. It's the diamond formation, where you're here and the receivers are there. 3 yards away from the tackle. So that's in Florida, yeah. You'll be on the left in Florida, right in Bama. Todd's been here. Poppy hasn't. Still in the same formation. There's another breakup by Jay. Hey, H. Okay. There are two people there. Two people running outside. All right. So what they have right there, they ran basically, they had two receivers on the left, and they ran them both deep. We ran a cover two defense where the safeties split. And they had two receivers running down the left, you know, that one safety had to cover. So that was pretty good right there experience for our safety because she basically had to cover two people. And what happens with that is that she has to recognize to be split in the middle of them and not covering just one of them. And she actually saw the ball in the air and attacked it and knocked it down. So, and like I said earlier, she's playing with a banged up hand, so I doubt she will get any interceptions. But as long as she can knock him down with a good hand, that's okay. So here they come again, and we're starting every ball, every possession from the 35. They're in that doubles again. Still the lefty quarterback. You see the flats? See the flats over there? Yeah, backside to running back. She said they're white. Had a little communication right there. It was an incomplete pass as a result, but the quarterback had the running back wide open, swinging out of the backfield and turning upfield. Nobody had covered her, and I was trying to check to see if we were in zone coverage or if we were in man. So right now it looks like they're saying we switched to a 4-3 where we have two safeties. Remember, we started off in a 5-3, which means we only had a safety in two corners. So here they come again. Breakers haven't changed anything different. And here's their – nope, same thing. They're still in doubles. It looks like they're having a slot left and then a tight end right with a flanker out right. Still got the lefty. Here comes the swing. There's the swing. They hit it. And she scored. All right, the way that we had a swing out there, Havoc had her covered. She was in the right area, had her covered, but it was flag. She missed a flag. And then the lady in the, on the breakers made a good move and made everybody else miss the flag. And we actually talked to the players beforehand. Don't even stress about pulling flags. Just break down in front and make sure you get ready to deliver a hit. We don't really care about pulling the flag right now. If we pull it, great. If not, make sure you're in the right position. So the breakers are in a huddle right now. It's one thing I'm kind of, Coach Manny and I being close together, we good sports and teamwork, and, we're both in the same league. We're trying to work together and get a bunch of things done. That's why we do these things, to help improve our teams, so we put on a good show for our fans and represent our teams and our leagues well. I think I'm going to have to send Nisa in. So, I mean, if I can, I might just send a backup quarterback in. I probably would rather have get some receiver work today. So, there's no delay in the game. That's what I was just talking about on the radio, saying, I wonder if they're going to pick it up in the huddle, because last time they took like a minute or two in the huddle, they only ran like 20 plays, where we ran like 70. So, yeah. Don't get the refs on defense. That's what our defense coordinator is complaining about. So they tried. They got diamond trips. All right, so they had a diamond trips on the right as offensive set with a single split out left and a single back. They ended up throwing. They ran a bunch of crossing routes with a diamond, and then a slant came underneath for the completion, but she was down immediately after like 4 yards. So, and I don't think that play would have worked in a game-type situation because of the line. She was basically where the offense and defensive lines would be. Then make sure you guys don't even come close to anywhere over here, okay? we have Downey High School. It's all to ourselves. The field is ours. Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays, and we actually have a Wednesdays, but we canceled Wednesday practices. We use these to work out in the gym or condition or set up little scrimmages like these. Well, we have the lacrosse team out here practicing. We share the field with them because they're Downey. I mean, technically, we pay for this field. It's ours, but we're cool with the coach over there, and he works with us. But then we have a lot of soccer hoodlums that come out here and want to play because it's an open field, and it's ours, so we just have to kick them off, and that's what I'm having to deal with right now is getting them out of here. Still, they went back to their doubles formation. They ran the running back right down the middle of the field, and the safety got right on it, so that was good. That was three breakups by Jays so far that I've seen, so that's good to see. But the breakers are spending a lot of time in the huddle. They seem to have play sheets in the huddle that they're talking things over. I don't see any coaches out there with them. I see a bunch of players. I'm trying to see. I see Coach Manny's, the two of them, on the sideline. I'm trying to see if there's an offensive coordinator out there. Yeah, there is. There's an offensive coordinator. I don't know if it's an offensive coordinator, but I know he was the wide receiver coach last time he was here. So he's probably getting that done. Our defensive coordinator, Coach H and Coach D, walked out there to talk about what they just ran. And they're talking about since they're taking so long in the huddle, we decided to get some work in too, get some teaching. That's one thing cool about this too. Get a lot of teaching in, and, you know, we're able to walk out there, sort of like a scrimmage we did with the Central Coast Heat a couple years ago at the Staples Center. So it was really good. We got to go in and get some experience, and coaches were allowed to be on the field. The Breakers are back in a doubles formation. Have a little bit more spread, but they still have somebody 7 yards deep. She's swinging out again. And we got everybody covered. Somebody's right up in the middle, but she has four people on her. So that was good. Good read, QB. So that was a good read. They basically did a dig route. Dig route is 10 yards straight across the middle of the field. It looks like we were in a man coverage. And once the ball was in the air, everybody sucked up and pulled the flag immediately. So. Our flatter's finally here. Let me see. Yeah, we were supposed to actually do this one with helmets on, but the Breakers still haven't got their helmets. As I mentioned on the show, we actually went in pads on Saturday, and we haven't started hitting people yet because we have so many rookies. We're trying to get everybody accustomed to the weight of the pads and how they feel and how to move in them, and you have to learn how to catch and run all over again. So that's why we spent so long trying to teach them how to run and catch without pads, because it'd be a lot harder if they didn't know how already. So here they come out again, and they're looks like they're going doubles again, but they look like they are going double tight. They have two tight ends in close to the quarterback, and then two receivers spread out with a fullback or tailback deep, 7 yards. Straight drop back again. And pass was thrown behind, and everybody seemed to be on their perusal. I am, yeah. They got seven more minutes. So, right there, so far the Breakers have completed, I think, around three passes. They broke that tailback swing for a huge run and score. Like I said, she would have probably been down if it was tackle. Havoc was right on her, just missed the flag. And that's something we're not stressing about at all. So, you done with your workout already? Yeah, she can work. What do you mean keep going on the last time? Yeah, we have the skill positions. This skill position only practice, and there's a couple of linemen that actually took use of the gym we have here, so they actually got their workout in. Every Saturday we spend an hour and a half in the gym and work out with the weights. Variety of things, medicine balls to work the abs, basic core there, legs, upper body, abs, do a couple of different types of benches, incline and straight, and then we do some squats, and we do some medicine balls, and then we do some lunges, we do all kinds of things. So the Breakers are batting back up to the line, and a nice short pass, looks like another 4-yard completion. That's about it. All right, so the way we're going to do this tonight is just... what you're going to have to do is show me the play first so I can signal it in. Then hold this up just like this so they can see it with no light shining behind it. And as soon as this play is run, throw it to the back. Yeah, but hold that up the entire time so that they can see it, so they all know. Right. Yep, show me that part. I'll signal that in so that they know what formation to line up in. And, well, yeah, we haven't started. That's the first one. For offense, yeah. We're on defense there. That Coach H calls the defense play. That's why I can sit here and talk and do this. Do a little thing. Breakers are out of the huddle again. They still got doubles. This time they're spread out wide. It's actually an illegal formation. There they go. They fixed it. They had two people on the line of scrimmage. So straight drop back. We have the running back going right this time. Oh, nice catch. Nice catch. Spider, one of our veterans on the team, had perfect coverage on somebody basically doing a post down the middle. Ball was thrown up in the air. She tipped it away from her, and the girl made a great adjustment and caught it. That's a big girl running down the field. They have 4 minutes. So, 4 minutes, yeah. That big girl's running down the field. I mean, I don't think Spider could have had any better coverage than that. She had her back hip and had her covered pretty well, even knocked the ball away. So... So they ended up getting her around the 10-yard line, but that was a catch for a pretty good gain. Took about 5 seconds to throw the ball, so I'm not so sure that would have worked in a game. But it was a completion, something good, something positive for the Breakers. They come back out again. They're still in the doubles formation they've been using primarily the whole night. Looks like we're in a bit of a zone because they got one deep and the linebackers just spread out a little bit. Oh! Jay got another pass deflection. That's her fifth of the evening, and then because she tipped it, Spider dropped it. Otherwise, that would have been an INT. So Jayla's having a good night with her one hand. Like I said, I don't expect her to catch anything, but she's knocking them down, and so that's a good thing. It's good to see that their eyes are playing a lot better than last time. Last time, we couldn't find the ball when it was in the air. Everybody's running them around a bit confused. So tonight, they're actually, you know, covering their people and able to watch when the ball's in the air. Sideline. Remember, just like in a game, when you see the ball in the air, you got to say ball. So that they know, get their heads around and find the ball in the air so they can have a better chance of making an interception. When they make an interception, everybody knows what to say? Oski. Oski that lets the defense know, turn around, start blocking. While the interceptions are dead, we still want to practice that, okay? So it looks like we are in another zone, or at least we're too deep. We're too deep, and they still have their regular formation. There's a swing pass. Good catch. That was a great catch. Jonesy looked like faded from her area a bit, but she stayed there and got the flag for minimal gain, maybe 4 or 5 yards. But that was just a great catch. It was thrown over her head, and behind her, and she managed to get a good grab on that, get her fingers out there and catch it pretty well. So, Coach, 2 minutes, 2 minutes. 2 minutes before we switch. 2 minutes. 2 minutes, ladies. 2 minutes. First five going in will be. You told them? All right. Didn't we? Well, yeah. I didn't think you would have told them. All right. So we will have you, Nitro, and T-Bird starting off. And then Ninji will go to tight end. All right, and then everybody else needs to stay by me, so that we rotate in. So they may get one more play, and that's it. So they got doubles again. We're too deep. Looks like we're in a bit of a zone. Ball sit up in the air. It's a good catch. Good catch. Ball sat up there forever. That should have been intercepted in my book, but. So, looks like they tried to do some sort of trick. They tried to get a pump fake to the fullback to get the people to bite up and then tried to throw it deep. Truthfully, I don't think the quarterback has the arm to throw it deep. She seems to be putting a lot of lower body and not enough arm into it. She's kind of off balance throwing the ball. So, I don't think they're really going to throw a pass farther than 15 yards on us. That one was about 10, and it was in the air for a long time. Truth to me, my quarterback's got to be able to throw darts 10 yards. The only balls they should be floating are 20, 25-yard passes. So, yeah, take your own ball out there. So as soon as this play's over, get out there. All right, they're in doubles again. Spread doubles. Looks like we saw up too deep. And lefty snapback, she's throwing a deep ball. Oh, Jay knocked it down again. Good job, Jay. Hey, switch it up. Yeah, Terry, you're in. Pacific left. Choice Todd. Okay, all right. Huh? 35. Stay in, Ingy. If you want to play offense, get on my right. I'm standing on the 30 to do a signals. So I'm going to say goodbye tonight because I'm going to be a little overwhelmed. So thank you for listening, and I'll see everybody in 2 weeks, okay? All right, bye. Thanks for listening to Third Along with Coach Penn.